J.B. toyed with a golden tassel attached to a trigger assembly.
Rather have bullets and food any day. Hope they didn't mess with the feeder mechanisms. Damn fools. You double-check the guns. I'll go check on Shard and the Pep Boys.
Cursing softly, Ryan tried again to start the engines, but nothing happened.
Shit. Something's wrong. We got no power to the diesels.
I'll check.
J.B. removed a hatch and wiggled under the console. 10 minutes passed as he muttered to himself and twisted uncooperative wires. The armorer crawled back into view.
Well?
Try it now.
J.B. dusted off his hands. Experimentally, Ryan pulled the choke and pushed the start button. Instantly, the big engines roared into life, the console coming alive with indicators and quivering dials. Christy tapped an indicator.
We have missiles. So what was the problem?
J.B. took a seat at the starboard 50 caliber machine gun.
The fuse to the ignition was gone. No problem. These things always have spares in a plastic box nearby. Don't want to get trapped in the middle of a battle because of a lousy piece of plastic.
Doc tossed a tire into the vehicle.
We got 8. Help me get these on board.
Dean and Jack jumped to assist in the task, while JB and Christy kept watch at the blaster ports. With the aid of Mildred, Shard carefully climbed inside the craft, moving as if his bones were made of glass. He could only stare about the tank in awe. The physician tenderly directed him to a wall seat and helped the man operate the safety belt.
Oh, it's like a dream. Truly, you are the parole board.
Not quite.
Ryan revved the diesels. Under the floorboards, the twin power plants rumbled in barely restrained fury, softly vibrating the entire vehicle. Tires bounded into the tank through the back doors, the men grunting from the exertion.
Ready!
Doc slammed shut the rear doors and shoved home the lock.
8?
Check. 2 at each corner, 1 behind the other.
Good. JB, man the left machine gun. Jack, take the right. Dean and Doc, rear rapid fires. Christy, load the recoilless rifles with AP shells. Mildred, watch over Shard. We don't want those wounds opening up again.
Everybody moved with a purpose. Spinning the steering wheel, Ryan directed Leviathan around in a halting circle until it faced the garage doors. Thick chains were wrapped around iron stanchions, locking the aluminum doors firmly in place. Ryan put the pedal to the metal, and the tank crashed through the thin plating into smoky night.
Is it safe to be on the streets like this? What about the guards, the ward, and his heirs? Surely they'll want revenge for killing Eugene and reclaiming the... our tank.
Ryan checked the radar screen, which was clear.
As long as the Sekhmen are busy fighting the invaders, they won't have any chance to bother with us.
The guys trying to get in are always a bigger concern than the folks trying to get out.
Shard nodded at the wisdom. Christy checked the rearview mirror.
Can't storm the front gate. That's probably where the main fight is. We can blow a hole through the wall at any point with the missiles, but I sure hate to use them up.
Shard pointed to the right.
Go down that street. I know of a private escape tunnel for the ward.
Anybody else know?
The door is hidden. But I don't know how to unlock it.
Ryan worked the clutch and gears.
Just show me where. I'll get us in.
As Leviathan rolled away into the night, the waiting slaves broke ranks and looted the bodies of clothing and weapons. Dashing into the streets, the armed slaves separated to spread the word of the coming freedom. Within the bank of smoke masking the western gate, a faint shape could be seen in the thinning haze. The updraft caused by the glowing gate was forming a breeze that was quickly dissipating the discharge fumes of the half-score cannons. Some of the troops tried to dart into the smoke for a better look, but quickly backed out, hacking and gasping for breath.
It lives!
A man ran out with both hands outstretched, clawing the air, his eyes dead white orbs of cooked flesh. There was a flash of light, and the man vaporized. A blazing rod of destruction, the laser swept the yard at chest height, Sekhmen, gunners, and cannon all disappearing in its vitriolic energy beam. The guards, not slain in the first sweep, threw away their weapons and fled. Its armor, buckled and battered, leaking hydraulic fluid and oil, the beast rolled after them, crushing the remains of the mighty cannons under its armored treads, vaporizing the swift, and blinding any who dared to glance its way. Then the machine paused, spying a tall building of stone and brick standing prominently within the fortress. The beast traversed its turret and concentrated its polycyclic laser on the base to remove a potential danger. A tremor shook the citadel, the windows cracking, suits of armor falling from their wall niches to break apart on the floor in noisy crashes. Whimpering slaves huddled under the map table.
It's melting the foundation!
Richard righted himself as the floor tilted to a greater angle. Amanda grabbed her holster and blaster and headed for the door.
We have lost a battle, not the war. Summon the guards. We'll continue the fight from the tower.
Richard turned, spitting in rage.
And leave Father alone with the rabble?
You fool, Father is dead!
What?
He backed away from her madness.
Dead, you idiot! Dead! Has been for years. I killed him myself when he refused to make me his queen, even after I gave him a son.
Lies. All lies!
Then he saw the mocking triumph in her face. The face that looked so much like his own.
You bitch!
The deputy wildly fired his pistol. Lady Ward Amanda Coultier of Novaville fell to the floor, hugging her stomach, holding in a spill of intestines. Blood ran from her mouth.
You fool. We could have ruled the world together.
One final shot resounded in the audience room, stopping any further traitorous words from the madwoman. Going to his chair, the deputy ward ripped off the seat cover, exposing a red lever. Wrapping both hands about the switch, he pulled it upward until there was a metallic crack and the lever broke away clean. He slumped to his knees.
There's no stopping it now. We're dead. They're dead. Everybody is dead.
Deep under the citadel, the anti-riot gas of the Predark Wardens erupted from its storage container as the primary seal was permanently ruptured. Following the path of least resistance, the gas poured through a maze of pipes hundreds of years old and thousands of yards long, hissing into every street, every building. The vapor wafted along the ground, constantly rising higher, cresting door sills, then windows. 1,000 cubic yards of chemicals swirled into the smoky atmosphere of the ville, unnoticed, until it was far too late. Slaves toppled to the floor and out windows. Sekhmen dropped as the gas floated past the flaming ruin of the barricade, down the raised concrete embankment, and out into the fields. Galloping horses shattered legs as they were engulfed. Snarling dogs became drowsy, then somnolent. The wounded and the dying mercifully ceased their screaming, wrapped in the anesthetic arms of the soporific. Lisa and Troy collapsed, trying to gain entrance into the armory. Clifford became insensible, chained to the wall of a jail cell. David and Kathy succumbed, firing their stolen weapons at escaping Sekhmen. Deputy Ward Richard went limp at the foot of his gilded chair, the citadel crashing down around him as the very rock it was built upon dissolved. Men, women, children, young or old, whether they quietly accepted their fate or cried in fear, fired their weapons, or hid under furniture, it made no difference. Some held their breath, while others formed crude masks from wet clothing, but these only offered the briefest of respites. Eventually, the gas seeped into their pores, and they were unconscious. Only minutes after the gas release, dead silence filled the ville. From the leaning tower to the still-burning timbers of the palisade. Then, from out of the swirling smoke and gas, came the Ranger, its black, angular form moving like a nightmare through the fiery desolation. Sleeping people lined the streets, but the machine moved ever onward, uncaring of the bloody carnage the armor treads left in its wake. It was very near to the source of the enemy radio signal, and getting closer. Violently, the disguised door to the secret passage in the stone wall exploded across the intersection, showering the Sekhmen and the brothel with hot shrapnel. Caught by surprise, they wasted precious seconds recovering and by then Leviathan was in the street and moving away. Holding torches aloft to spread the light, guards ran into the night. Some cursed, some knelt and fired their blasters. The Vulcan minigun awoke with